bum, ba bu ba bu ba.
Friday, wee wee wee. Hello, hello, everybody.
Wee wee wee. Today's show will be done in French by Wendy.
Oui, oui.
I'm still acclimating to English. I was in Mexico all week, where the weather was the exact opposite of here.
No, you
missed... exact opposite.
Did you miss the deep freeze?
I didn't see any of that. I know it was in the 50s here.
Oh, you missed that.
When we left for the airport, it was 3.
Oh, God.
And then we got there, and it was 81. And that, and your body just goes, wait, what? Huh? Which is fine. Now, there was a moral dilemma that I had while I was in Mexico that I thought, I'm going to save this and talk this over with you. It's one of those what should I do situations.
I love these.
On our second night there was a knock at the door, and you can reenact that. Go ahead. This is just a reenactment. This isn't the actual knocking. But it did sound very similar to this, but it was in Spanish, Wendy, so it was more like this. El... Oh,
and like faster, that. I bet.
Oh, a lot faster. A lot faster. So we opened the door to find two employees of the resort that we stayed at holding a bouquet of balloons that was about 14 or 16 balloons deep and a giant piece of flan.
Which I love flan.
Spanish for flan. And and then there was a message on it, and I'll tell you what the message said in a little bit. And there were birthday candles. And that was a nice surprise because last week, just prior to us arriving in Mexico, it was my wife's birthday and both my daughter's birthday all in the same week, you know?
Did you tell the hotel this?
When we checked in, they asked us a lot of questions from all different directions.
How tall
directions.
Are you? How
they
much do you weigh?
How tall we were. How much can you bench press? if you could be any animal, what kind of animal would you be? And one of them was, are you celebrating anything? And I said, well, yeah, kind of. I mean, it's my daughter's birthday and my wife's birthday, like that. So there was that. So as we see all this, I say to myself, well, obviously, there was a reason for that question when we checked in. And now the payoff is we get a bouquet of balloons, a beautiful bouquet of balloons, and some cake. That's great.
Which I bet you have to pay for.
Well, yes and no. I tip each of the two people who bring the cake and the balloons. I give them each $5, which is 38 million pesos.
I think your translation is a little
off.
I'm
not good at the translation.
That's not even the right word.
I just know the conversion.
Yes.
I just know anytime I handed anyone money, they looked at it and they went, ay caramba, and they hugged me and kissed me. I got a lot of hugs and kisses.
$5 is good, though.
I gave
though.
Them each $5.
That's good.
I thought that's pretty good. All right. So then, as they leave, one of my daughters reads the cake and says, who's Patty?
Oh, God.
And I go, well, as you know, Patty is your aunt, because my wife's sister's name is Patty. And then she said, well, because the birthday cake says, in Spanish, Feliz cumpleaños.
Yes.
Happy birthday. Patty.
Patty.
Patty. Right? So then I assume, I go, oh, you know what probably happened is... my sister-in-law probably called the resort and said, hey, it's my sister's birthday or my niece's and my sister's birthday. Can you send them up some cake? It's on me. I'll pay for it. And her name is Patty, so maybe they misunderstood and they wrote that on the cake.
It seems like a logical explanation.
That could happen, right?
Yeah.
So then when my wife comes out of the shower to find all these cake and balloons, she goes, oh, that's so nice. And I said, I think that's from Patty. So she calls her sister to thank her, and her sister goes, I didn't even know you guys were out of the country. I don't know where you are, right? So that makes it even more peculiar. So then we call down to guest services, and what it turns out is the cake and the balloons are meant for the people down the hall.
Right, wrong room.
And that name is Patty.
So they got your cake and balloons.
Well, we weren't supposed to get any cake and balloons.
Oh, did you get your $10 back?
That's the moral dilemma. Because then I say to my family... I just tipped $10. They're coming back to get the cake and balloons.
I would hold the cake and balloons hostage.
Until I got my $10 yes. back. So one of my daughters goes, Dad. I go, what? And she goes, you don't ask for the money back. And then I thought about it, and I go, that is pretty tacky.
Yeah, but they wouldn't have gotten the money.
Right.
Unless they came up and they delivered the wrong item. You're not
right.
keeping the cake and balloons.
I thought the same, but I was overruled 3-1. Now... twice in the
they
last
never,
year.
They never, ever let you get your way, do they?
It's been a long time. Twice.
I'll be nicer to you here at work, okay?
twice in the last year we have ordered food and they have brought either the wrong food or not enough food, like it's a partial order. So then Terry insists that when they come back with either the right food or the rest of the order,
nope, you do not
that
double
I have to
tip.
Give them
nope.
an additional tip.
No, they messed up.
See, that's the way I feel.
They messed up. And the fact that they had, you know, I will tell you this much. I won't say the name, but it is it's a great place that I love to go to. And I believe they are a sponsor somewhere on this show.
All right.
And
is it Permaseal?
No, it's a food place. And
Permaseal does tortas. Did you know that?
No.
They use the same bonding agent.
I'd be up for it. I like a good torta that stays together.
Oh, it's so tasty.
And I ordered some beefs and hot dogs there. I'll leave you to determine which of the places it could be. And they stiffed us 2 pounds of beef. And I had a graduation party for the boys. I had
every pound counts.
Yes. I had 30 people coming.
You need all of it.
Yes. So I called to explain that.
Yeah.
And they said, oh my God, so unbelievably sorry. I will have one of our employees bring it to your house in the next 15 minutes.
That's sweet.
And they brought it and I said, thank you. And I was wrestling with that. Do I tip them? And I thought, you know what? I'm not tipping them because this should have been included in the original order.
Right.
But I was happy they obliged.
So theoretically, you should not tip on someone's mistake.
I don't think so.
It shouldn't cost you extra money. But my family overwhelmingly agreed that I thought they were going to say tip again. Not only do you not ask for the money back, but when they come back to take the cake and balloons, you should give them another $5. Wait, what? So,
and that would have been weird, Bill, for you to ask for a gratuity back. You couldn't have. You were out that money.
I gave them $10 to deliver the wrong package to our room.
So you should have gotten something for the trouble. Like you should have gotten, what was that, birthday flan?
Birthday flan.
You should have just gotten a regular flan, no birthday flan.
Well, I said, you're right. So this was my thing, and I said, I don't know how to say this in Spanish. I can barely say it in English, I'll be honest with you. But you shouldn't come and take the cake out of our room and put it in somebody else's room, give it to somebody else, probably make another flan one downstairs and bring them that one. And
right. You know what you do? When your wife calls down to say, or who called this to the front desk?
Reese.
Okay. So when Reese calls to the front desk and they say, oh, I'm sorry, that was not meant for you, but you know what? Keep it.
Right.
We'll make a fresh one.
We'll make
a fresh
flan. Just
scrape the patty off and enjoy.
Yeah. And with the balloons, I already sucked the helium out and made funny animal noises with that anyway, so they couldn't get those. But it would have been weird, you know.
Yeah, they shouldn't. What if you licked it? What if you did?
Right.
I don't buy, you know, Italian
bread.
Right, because the end is always exposed, and I don't know why I have this irrational fear of someone licking it. If you got flan delivered by mistake to your room,
the first thing you do is lick it.
Well, why wouldn't you?
The first thing
it's
you do.
So shiny. I can't. It's so tempting.
No, it's very shiny. Tempting.
What if Patty is celebrating a birthday and they're re-gifting
P-A-T-Y, by the way, in Spanish. I didn't know that.
No, P-A-T-Y. No double?
I don't know why. They're conserving teas.
Really?
Yeah, there's a tea shortage.
All right. Well, I don't think Patty should have gotten a used flan.
Fresh
she should have gotten a fresh flan.
Fresh balloons.
Yep.
I should have got my money back.
No, that you. There's
that,
no
you
way to
just write
do that,
that off as experience. Yeah. From now on, when I go to resorts, Wendy, I'm not tipping anybody anything until the whole trip is over, and then I'll send them something in the mail.
You'll never send it.
Here's the money. all right, so here that was Moral Dilemma 1. Here's the second one. Not as controversial. One of the nights we get there in Puerto Vallarta, there's several restaurants that are on this pier. So you're eating you're literally on the beach. I mean, it's not a window that opens to the beach. The tables are in the sand.
Really?
It's fantastic, right? So 3-4 of the 5 nights, that's where we ate. On the beach, right? All right. So, and it's just beautiful. It's just so stunning and beautiful. So, at some of the nicer restaurants, they have security guards set up on the perimeter, on the two beach perimeters, so that locals can't come and try to sell you either silverware,
puka shells,
or puppets,
yeah,
or whatever.
Wood carvings.
Right? Yeah. They all have stuff there was a fire dancer who performed a fire dance one night, and then he wanted a dollar. And I went, yeah, guy almost burned himself with carrots. Kerosene, here's a dollar.
Carrots.
With carrots.
That is an impressive fire dancer.
Not easy to do.
How do you keep them
lit? Not easy to do. But one of the nights, we ate more toward the middle where they don't have the security guard set up. So all throughout the meal, I would say a dozen different people came by trying to sell us, you know, jade jewelry or...
A cat.
A body part. What is that, an aorta? I could use a spare aorta. How much do you want for it? And then I have to do the conversion. All right, 3,800 pesos. What is that? All right. So at one point, a girl comes up who I'm going to say was four.
Okay, really little here.
I'm not missing by much. Oh, in Puerto Vallarta, there's kids out 24 hours a day. You could take a walk at 3 in the morning and you'll run it. Buenos dias. You just see these kids.
I see that a lot, though. At Mexican restaurants, they go as a family. And
it's amazing.
If the family's eating late, then the kids have to deal with it.
That's it.
I like that.
That's it. I like it, too. So a four-year-old girl comes by, and I don't speak enough Spanish to know what she was trying to sell to us. But we
did
all
you
just
look
went,
at it?
No, because she didn't have anything in her hands. She just comes over and says, for a dollar, and then says something, but none of us really know what she's trying to convey for a dollar. So we say, no, thank you, but, you know, good luck, have a nice night, and stuff like that. But then we watch her as she goes to other tables. So her deal is this. You give her a dollar, and then she will sing any song that you want to hear for a dollar, as long as that song is Guantanamera. Because we watch this transaction at other tables where she explains what she wants to do, and they all go, oh, that would be fun to have her sing a song. And then they tell her the name of the song, and then she, at the loudest she could possibly make her lungs project, she shouts the lyrics to Guantanamera.
Which is a great song.
But I
Guantanamera.
So she does the whole song. She has the dollar, you know, and then she moves on to the next table and she says, what would you like to hear? And they go, well, we are Beatles fans, so let it be. And she goes, okay, let it be. Guantanamera. So my kid said, you know, we should call the authorities. You can't have a little 4-year-old girl out. It's 10:30 at night. It's part of the charm, right?
Yeah.
I was fine with it. They go,
your
Dad,
kids wanted
what
to
if,
call?
Yeah, they said, this is obscene. You can't have a 4-year-old just roaming the beach this late at night singing songs that are all Guantanamera.
She wanted to buy stuff. Good for her.
She was an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
I applaud her.
How do you say that in Espanol?
Entrepreneuro.
Oh, okay.
That's how you say it. So then I wanted to go back to that restaurant just to deal with her more. But my family's like, no, we did that restaurant. But I thought that this was a good lesson for all of us to learn.
Yeah, maybe your girls should start trying to make money.
Right.
A little more.
Right.
On the side.
Right.
It does seem weird that a 4-year-old is doing that, but that's not your business.
No. But really, as we were, there were a couple nights that were late nights for us, and we were in the town, and you didn't just see a scattered little kid. They were all over the place.
Yeah.
And these, on essentially school nights. I don't know if they're on some sort of break.
Do they have school in resort areas?
Yeah, there was school. Because we were in, like, we were off. We were south of the city by about 20 minutes. But in the heart of the city, it's not a busy city. It's a resort city. You know?
See, I forget they have real lives there. I think that everyone's on vacation, so there'd be no school.
No,
can swim all the time.
There's school.
Can sing Guantanamera.
Late into the evening if you want to.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you had a good time. You deserved it.
I sure did, Wendy.
I need to get somewhere where it's warm and tropical.
Yeah.
Because it really does kind of, I know it's nice to take time at the end of the year and between Christmas and New Year's to kind of reboot and get things rolling. But there's something to be said for going to a warm climate. That really reboots you better than anything.
In less than 4 hours.
I know. Mexico's the way to go.
It really is. I mean,
door to door, it's you're there in 4 hours.
The flight is less than 4 hours, and then it's like a 45-minute bus ride from the airport to the resort. But you're on a different planet 4 hours later.
I know.
I'm shocked that more people don't make that trip. I mean,
before the wall goes up, anyway.
Right. Right. By the way. The good people of Mexico, and they are so polite and so nice and stuff like that, whenever the talk of the wall comes, they just laugh like crazy.
Good for
them. It's the funniest thing in the world to them. Because I say on a couple of can I go, Mr. Trump has sent me to collect money because we're building a wall and
you're
you have to pay for it.
That.
I said it a couple of times because they know it's a joke. So they know that they're not expected to put forth any money for this wall.
That's
Come on,
so
give me
ridiculous.
The money. I'll sing Guantanamera. Give me some money.
She's trying to make her own wall around herself to protect herself, that little four-year-old.
I know. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. You know who's coming by, Wendy?
Judy, I hope it's Judy Pilak.
Judy Pilak.
She worked. She filled in for you yesterday.
How'd she do?
She did a pretty good job, yeah. Bill. I'd be worried.
Yeah, I am worried. All right. I am worried. All right, Judy Pilak will come by. She'll scare us. She'll make us worried, and then we'll do more show for you. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
We're on the air right now. Can I just tell you, Doc Emmerich was here, the wildly talented...
the voice of the NHL. That's mm-hmm. your Doc Emmerich.
All right. But
nicest man on the planet.
So nice, so that he brought a bunch of candies.
Yes.
And I don't know if you've tried to eat sugar babies while doing a radio show, but they...
They stick to your teeth.
Uh-huh. That's what's happening
like
right now.
Like real babies. Did you ever try eating real babies during the show, Wendy? They stick to your teeth. The highlight of my day so far, now the day is young, so anything can happen. The highlight of my day so far was Doc Emmerich coming into our office with an array of candy. He had 5 or 6 or 7 boxes of candy, and he called me. He wanted to give them to everybody in the office. So just hearing the voice of the NHL, say, I've got sugar babies, good and fruity, good and plenty, lollipops. He's just going through the names of all these candies. And to hear Doc
Emmerich... cluster, go ahead.
Who wants a goo goo cluster?
Fresh from Nashville.
It was just so enjoyable.
Home of the Preds.
Right.
Yeah, well, that was a problem. So Bill and I were talking. I was enjoying a couple of sugar babies because you can't eat just one.
No.
You
got to
have them in a group.
A group of sugar babies is the way to go, Wendy.
And Judy Pilak filled in for you yesterday. Judy, I told Bill he should have been worried because you did a great job.
That's
really? Because I've been listening and you just, I could hear the relief in your voice. You're back together.
Yeah, I told
with
you
the man
I missed
you love
him.
On the radio.
Oh, come on.
I missed you, Bill.
Come on.
I was kind of surprised because I was like, hello, I'm
Judy's here.
Here,
right.
You know what it is?
Right.
It's way more work when Bill's not here.
Well,
when Bill's here, I get to cruise.
Well. It's really not. You just think it is because, see, you're more comfortable when Bill's here.
Yeah, but, you know, Judy, as she mentioned, Bill, got up at 5 a.m. both days.
Oh, my gosh.
To do show prep. And then Jasmine and I said, oh, what did you bring to the table? Jasmine, what did Judy bring to the table either of those days? Any ideas at all?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Not a thing.
She's got nothing.
That's not fair.
She was ready.
I have to comment this book that you first gave to Wendy,
how
and then I bought
it
on my own. I'm 3/4 of the way through.
I'm on page 17.
Wendy's on page 17.
She will not be on page 18
anytime
soon.
Wendy thought that you wanted a book report, so she quickly
I panicked.
She was afraid I was going to ask her questions.
Chapter.
Yeah,
so I did.
The book is called Geek Love. It's 30 years old, so I'm loving it.
Is it awesome?
I'm almost done, but it's so dark and twisted and gruesome, but it's fantastic.
Right?
And it's killing me that it's taken me this long to read, because I've heard of the book for decades. So all of a sudden, I'm like, I got to find out more about the author of this book. And then I find out that she died about a year ago.
I know.
Which is tragic.
Yeah, I looked her up too. I know, right?
And it's also tragic that this book has never been turned into a movie. That doesn't make sense.
Not yet.
It's so visual.
It is. It would be a great movie.
It really would.
Although I could see
Tim Burton directing it.
Oh, yeah. Or I was thinking even on American Horror Story.
Yeah, well, they did kind of do that.
Kind of reminded me of it a little bit.
Murphy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they did a storyline two years ago with Circus Sideshow People Freaks.
Which I loved. Because, I mean, it's not about that. It's the backstories that are so good.
Yeah, it's a really good book.
I'll give it really another try. But I have to tell you, I really turned into a school kid when Judy's like, you know, hurry up and read it. You know, I want that book back. You're coming back. You've been on break for, you know, 4 weeks. I'm going to need it back. Don't forget it.
Yeah.
You know, I got you movies and a blanket and slippers. I'm going to need that book back.
Mm-hmm. I felt like it once, Bill.
I felt like I was like on a deadline, like at school. Like, I'm sorry, I love The Scarlet Letter, but when they told me I had to read The Scarlet Letter, you panic all of a sudden.
Yeah.
It is true. They kind of ruin the book a little bit.
Yes, because, you know, read the 20 pages a night or 50 pages a night, and it's
and
like,
we're going to talk about it so you better understand what you're reading.
So I'm going to pick that book up and read it, give it another chance.
If you don't,
my own copy.
I know you're not a usual reader, but this is an easy one because all the chapters are about 12 to 14 pages.
And it's
long.
Freakish and
There's
weird. I like.
It's freakish
and
weird.
First 17 pages were okay.
And they focus on different characters, which I love.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, I like that.
Their own, yeah, they go back and forth.
I love backstories.
Yeah, and every this family, every character.
Yeah.
Is interesting.
Yeah.
There's no one who's not interesting in this book.
Yeah.
It's just, it's crazy. It's
and the so nice
good.
Parallel is that in their world, if you're normal or a norm, as they say, then you're an outcast because they're people who are sideshow freaks,
right,
and stuff.
And even the freaky ones who aren't freaky enough,
yeah,
aren't good enough.
Yeah.
Isn't that sad?
It's a really great story.
But that's a good premise to be yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Say it loud, say it proud, be yourself.
Now, can I
you
share a
girlfriend.
Fact with you? I don't even know if you're aware of this. The lady who wrote this book, who died last year, wrote a sequel to it that has never been published.
Really?
Yeah.
The Judy Pilek story?
It's called the Judy Pilek story. But it's completely done, and it's owned by her husband and her son.
What's
they
her
own
name?
The rights to it. I cannot remember.
Oh, my God, you guys.
I don't know her as an author. That's the thing. I can't remember. Wait a second. Are they going to ever publish it?
Nobody knows.
What are they waiting for?
I don't know. I have no idea. But she's got it completely finished, and they're just sitting on it. But I don't know what's in it.
Catherine Dunn.
Yeah.
Maybe yeah. I have her. What else has she written?
I know that she had two other novels before this.
Because I'm going to go read her other novels now, because she's a great storyteller.
Dunn really published is. Parts of the novel in Mississippi Mud Book Days in 1983. That's where some of this geek love came from. And Looking Glass Bookstore Review in 1988. It was a finalist for the National Book Award. I don't have any information. The Traveling Carnival is the novel. I'm not going to give you the whole story. It doesn't list her other books, guys.
Maybe that was her one and only. Wouldn't that have been weird?
But the book that I told you about, Confederacy of Dunces, there's when you read that one, you'll find a lot of similarities
okay,
in the storytelling.
Good.
You guys think you're Oprah or what?
I know. I can't
this
wait to read that.
One.
But see, what Bill just said, he's heard about this book forever. Same with Confederacy of Dunces.
Yeah.
I've heard of that one. I didn't
but
hear.
But for 30 years, people, or however many years it's been out, have been telling me to read that book. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I got to read that. And I'm always looking for a good book. I don't know why I've shied away from that.
Oh, it's so good.
I know.
It's really, really
I'm gonna
good.
I'm going to buy it today.
All right, let's do a quick look at the news, and then there will be
Doesn't
more show.
Doesn't have to be that quick.
Yeah, well, take your time. Yeah. A leisurely look at the news.
Do you really want me to do an in-depth news? Come on.
No, you asshole.
Oh, that's a good one. I went in the newsroom because I got here recently, and I said, are we saying the word on the air?
Are
because
we?
None, I'm shocked.
None of us here at the station have.
But we should be able to, you guys.
Okay,
this is our president.
I can't decide because I don't even like to see it on the scroll on the networks.
Right.
But you know what's happened? He has lowered the bar.
Yeah.
So
now
we,
right.
Yeah. And I mean, the response should be appropriate somehow.
Jasmine, do you have Wolf Blitzer? Do you have that tape up here or not?
We can get it.
Yesterday. All right. Well, just let me
know
when we have it.
Should we do the news first?
Yeah, we'll do the news and then we'll show you how Wolf Blitzer
handled
this very
okay.
delicate
and
situation.
And by the way, I literally was tearing up in my car listening to Cooper Anderson when you played that.
Anderson Cooper.
I'm sorry.
Whatever. Cooper Anderson. Like Judy.
He was talking about Haiti and his relationship with Haiti, and this is the anniversary,
so
the eight-year anniversary of their horrendous earthquake that just leveled.
Yeah. It was not even there. I mean, that was one of the most historic, horrible natural disasters ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So after they've endured all that and more in Haiti, to have the President of the United States refer to them and other nations as quote-unquote s-hole countries, it's
right.
so demeaning.
And I know you guys were talking about how it's just for the president. I kept in my car saying to myself, he's not a good American.
Right.
It's not even that he's not a good president.
Right.
He's not a good person.
Yeah,
come
but
on.
A good American, that's what we are. That's what America is.
Yeah.
Why, if you want to make it great again, well then make it great again the way it used to be, not changing it.
Yeah, I agree.
Anyway,
awful.
Right. Let me get into my news.
Aren't you glad you're back from Mexico, Bill, that it's going to be 17 tomorrow and cold tonight?
Yes, I'm thrilled. I'm just hearing the song, Wendy. I'm reaching in my wallet, and I'm going to hand you 50 pesos.
Oh, cool.
There
Look
you
at
go.
How
pretty
wow.
their money is.
What's that worth?
That 50 pesos, if my conversion rate is correct, is $3,000.
Wow, their money is made... so much better than ours. It's almost like a plasticky type thing.
Yeah, it has a silken feel to it.
You should let Judy feel that and give her the money, too.
Here, Judy. Here's 50 pesos.
I was just there. But it's really plasticky.
Fernando Valenzuela.
But, you know, like our money, you know, I hate when you get like a real used one.
Yeah.
A crisp bill is nothing better.
Yeah, this
but
is a
ours
new
is
bill.
Paper, yeah. And it rats up very quickly. This has like a plastic coating to it. I think we should look into that.
Yeah.
And make ours
make
more
our
colorful.
More like that. Their money is very colorful.
It looks fake.
It does look fake because we're not used to it.
Well, I made this one on a printer. The ones you get there are real, but I printed up a whole bunch of fake ones, and I used those while I were there. Well, and look, it has butterflies on it.
Nothing says
out like money with butterflies.
Happiness
on it.
More than butterflies.
It's incredible, isn't it?
And, you know, Bill was on vacation with his lovely family. And
I thought he was at a toy convention.
No, well, Wendy's. That's just
I was
Wendy.
Just throwing people off the scent, Jude.
Yeah, I get you. Because they would have gone looking for him?
Yep.
Yes. So he missed a lot of big news, but there's something that you came home to, and it was our president, Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Using a potty word.
He referred to some countries, not all countries, but some countries with undesirable immigrants.
Well, African countries, I believe.
African,
yes.
To be specific, as S-hole countries. Now, he didn't say S-hole. He said the word that we are all debating whether or not we can say. Anderson Cooper did say it last night on CNN, but Wolf Blitzer, who's also on CNN, he had a harder time with it. Let's play
now,
a little.
Can I just say we played Anderson Cooper earlier and we beeped it?
Yes.
But we don't, I feel like we, first of all, don't have to beep it because we are playing something
go ahead,
that's
in
the,
say
it's
it.
The. When it's the news, I think we have much more discretion.
I know, but I can't get myself to say it,
right.
Which is terrible because I've been trained under the FCC for 31 years I've been on the air.
I think you still need to adhere to those FCC rules.
We do, but you'd think the president would too.
And they've all been lessened, those regulations, so why not, right?
Do you remember?
Under President Trump himself, Mr.
Anti-regulation.
Yeah.
Right. Sorry, I'll say it. You asshole.
No, you didn't.
I can't say it, guys.
Do you remember a year ago during the Billy Bush incident?
Yeah, you guys both said it on the air.
No, I did not say it.
Judy did, because I was listening on the way home and I heard you guys.
What did I say?
So he said to Bill, in describing his relationship with certain women, he said you could grab them by the...
Oh, I didn't say that.
Not that. There was something you did say.
Steve Cochran did say it.
He did?
Yeah, he did. I remember he did.
And he didn't get fired.
He did not get fired. But I remember the argument at the time was, if you're quoting the president, although he was not president at the time, he was running for president, but if you're quoting somebody of that stature and it's a news story, you can say it, because how else to depict what happened than to say the exact word?
Right. Now, see,
words.
On TV, though, I feel like they could say, as you can see what we're scrolling at the bottom of your screen, this is what the president says.
Some places had asterisks and did not put the word.
But I've seen
they did the first letter and then a series of asterisks.
But I've seen the full word.
Right, and then other places.
And even that is jarring to
me. I know.
To see that on CNN.
It's a different world now, Jude.
The bar has been way lowered by President Trump.
Our president.
Yeah.
Now, Bill, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you when you were setting up the Wolf Blitzer tape.
Oh, okay. So Wolf Blitzer, who you know either from CNN News or also he's the inspiration for the song Hungry Like the Wolf by Duran Duran. He was on yesterday, and he was telling the story, the big story, which was President Trump dissing these African nations. And here's the way he handled it or didn't handle it last night. Listen.
The president said, quote, why do we want all these people from, I won't use the word, S-hole countries, quote, and I won't use the word S-hole countries. These are S-hole countries. I won't say the word S-hole countries. S-hole, S-hole, S-hole. That word, I won't say it. S-hole countries or bleep-hole countries, blank-hole, blank-hole countries. These are, you get the point.
So that was within the context of an hour. There was, I counted 11, there might have been more chances for him to say it, but he made the decision, and, you know, right or wrong.
Because
that was
we are trained. I'm serious. We are trained professionals not to do that. Do we have a trained professional in the White House?
It's not about that in my world of news. It's about whether I have to say it or not. Now, I realize I said blank hole, which could be different things.
Right. So
I should have said S. hole, and I think then people would understand. I mean, if it's something that you need, like the P word, I thought was a little bit different because some people might be like, what?
Yeah, right.
Because who could even imagine that someone would say what that comment was? So I don't say, well, should I use? I mean, of course you don't want to use a vulgarity ever. Why would you?
Yeah.
So if you don't have to, we do that with everything in news. if it's some really controversial audio or something that, you know, someone getting shot and we have audio, or, you know, you really have to think about it if it's necessary. It's what do people need?
But when you're thinking about it, you're thinking about it because you say to yourself, there's a percentage of people listening or watching, if you're on TV watching, if you're on radio listening, who are sensitive to the thought or word. So by saying it, I'm turning off a certain percentage of the audience.
I'm not saying that at all. That is not how I think. That might be how you guys think. Maybe I say to myself, do people need to know what this word is?
Yes, I think they do, because I think people need to have their eyes open that the President of the United States of America said this S-ing word.
Right. I think in this case,
they need to hear it.
Important. Right. It's important. And now if he had said it, we would have played that audio. I don't think we would have beeped that out.
We would have beeped it out.
If we had audio,
we would have beeped that out.
Well, then why? You just made your argument of why people
need to hear it. Why aren't you saying it then?
Because I think I can say asshole and people know what it is.
Yeah, but it's like I want people, and especially people who still support this man, to be shocked a little bit and listen to the word and let it resonate and go, oh my God, he said that about people from Africa?
And I think it's almost more important if we had the audio or not to say what Dick Durbin, I believe, is the one who said. He not only said it once, he said it several, and that is even more impactful.
Right.
To just say it and, you know, as a throwaway, but what he said was people from these S-hole countries, and he said it and said it and said it in one fell swoop.
Yeah.
That is even more, because now you're understanding this guy, he means to say it. It wasn't just a throwaway comment. He is like making such an impactful statement on these African nations.
Right.
That they are assholes.
So is this the end of it? Come on. This is Dick Durbin, and is it Lindsey Graham
The fallout now is just coming. It's from people, you know, his name just flew out of my head. One of our state legislators is from Haiti. One of our really good state lawmakers who speaks, anyway, he's now, the reaction now is coming in. And actually,
But Judy, wouldn't you liken this, like, to me, we're going back several months here, but when the president talked about there being really good people on both sides, this was during the white supremacist and Nazi discussion of several months ago, and he said, now there's some really good people on both sides. And I said to myself, that's it. That's the beginning of the end. As soon as you say there's some really good people on the Nazi party, that shows everybody in the world that you have no idea what's going on. But it didn't. It went away, and then another scandal, and then another scandal. I think this is the exact same thing, is that everybody's furious about it today and probably will be tomorrow. But by Monday, there'll be something.
Here's what I think is the problem, Bill. Everyone is not furious about it. House Speaker Paul Ryan's reaction today was, that vulgar slur is unfortunate and unhelpful.
So what does that mean? What is he going to do? What is Paul Ryan going to do about it?
What does that mean to you, those words?
It means that he's not a fan of it, but what is he what is Paul Ryan going to do?
No, nothing. That's what I'm saying.
That's the way it is.
The uproar is always on the one side. People who support him will not budge.
Right.
They just don't.
Right.
What I'm saying is maybe a little bit of a chipping away. I think, like you had a listener, or you read a text from someone who said, I was a Republican and I can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
But for the most part, this is the reaction. And you know what other Republicans are saying today? Nothing.
Yeah, right.
Why aren't they? How can they go to bed at night? Seriously. They want their party to stay alive. Do something about it.
And their party is staying alive, and the president's still the president's been. And so this is the dilemma. This is always the vicious circle.
I feel like I'm going to throw up.
You know how there's a bracket of people who like people who, quote unquote, tell it like it is?
Mm-hmm. I do. I like that. Yeah. I like those people.
But
not as my president.
But the people who are perceived as people who tell it like it is are telling you the way they think it is, not the way it really is.
You're
They're telling you their spin on whatever's going on.
And telling you like it is okay when it needs to, you know, for example, like Medicaid. Today there's a big story about Medicaid. Kentucky just is the first state to say, now if you want Medicaid, which is free insurance basically for poor people, you're going to have to do something. Get a job, go to a class. I'm like, that's not such a bad idea.
Right.
So if you want to be a loudmouth and obnoxious about that and really, okay, because there's something to that. You know what I mean? It's not, but what you're saying is people like him because he says, well, okay, so they like that. What he said if he said it, and I guess we know he said it, even though he's, I think, denying it.
He is denying it.
If he says what Dick Durbin says he said, I mean, it's a racist, you know, really derogatory, vulgar. What? I mean, how do you support that ever?
Because I saw, and we were watching, I don't know if CNN was on downstairs before we came up here, Bill, but it's like somebody, I don't know who it was defending Donald Trump and saying that because a lot of people feel exactly how he said.
And who said?
It's like, who? Give me some people.
And why don't you stand up and say it then out loud?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're not going to say it, but oh, he said it.
Yeah,
because then the people who support that are racist. If you support a racist comment, you're racist. Or a derogatory, vulgar comment about a group of people in another part of the world. I mean, what does that make you? So in other words, people who go like, oh, I like him because, you know, he says, I mean, I was on Twitter today. I can't believe all the people supporting it. Or immediately going, oh, Dick Durbin. You know, well, what about what Dick Durbin or what about what Obama? I mean, they go he's going to talk about Clinton before the day's out. Let me tell you.
Always.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, if you're going to make that statement.
Would Crooked Hillary say that?
Stand by it, dude. If you're going to say something
you're right.
Then you better stand by that and tell us why.
He didn't say that.
Of course not. Because it's indefensible.
But how can you be in that office and lie? We have witnesses. I don't know. I feel like somewhere somebody has a tape of this on their iPhone.
Well, again, he's there because the White House didn't really.
They didn't deny that he said it.
But now they're saying, well, he didn't actually single out Haiti because people are. But again. Who did you say it about? Because then we'll defend them, too.
Let's say it's every nation of Africa with the exception of Haiti. Does that make that any better?
Right. It
doesn't
matter. Now they're nitpicking. Well, he said it. They're taking it out of context. He said it as part of a broader state. Okay. You use that term.
Right.
I would not want to be Norway right now. They're embarrassed that they were singled out on the other side of it.
Sure.
They were. That's the worst of it. And people, again, texted earlier, why are you guys so bent out of shape that he used the S word? I don't care that he used that. I care how he used it.
But that's what they do. That's even the White House is so good at it. They're gonna zero in on that word, S-H-I-T.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys are all like, and you're right. It's not even the point.
Right.
He could have used a variety of words like that.
It's not who cares.
It was what he meant.
Right.
It's not what he says, what he meant.
I know.
Yeah.
And it's hateful and it's racist. It's hateful, yes. And we are not sanctioned by the FCC right now. We're on the internet. So truly, we really could say it. And I still can't get myself to say it.
Yeah, it's upsetting. All right. Now, another byproduct of this, and I know we don't have a lot of time, but I was hoping to discuss this earlier. We didn't have a chance. The idea has been floated that the next president could possibly be Oprah Winfrey. I know you love Oprah Winfrey. I know you've had a long, long love for Oprah Winfrey. And it's hard not to love Oprah Winfrey. She's done some amazing things.
Especially her Golden Globe speech, which we all loved.
But Oprah should not be the president of the United States.
We talked about this a lot with you being gone, and I'm embarrassed that I even for a moment entertained that idea.
Don't be embarrassed.
I am.
You and everyone.
Yeah,
and
but
you thought about it.
Yeah, but here's the deal. We only, and Bill, I'll explain this to you, we are only saying Oprah for president because that's such a far-out thought. Prior to Donald Trump being president, you would say, oh, she should be president, because no one who has no experience could ever be president.
Right.
But now that it's happened, really, why shouldn't she?
Now that it's happened, everyone from The Rock to Kid Rock to
I'd
Oprah,
vote for him.
I mean,
okay,
all summer long, I
want to look
song.
At The Rock for 4 years.
I don't
seriously,
like The Rock.
I do.
I'm done with
I
The
like
Rock.
Him.
I'd rather have Kid Rock.
But shouldn't it be somebody who is...
Listen to
you
us,
know
though.
What? How about a rock?
it should be somebody... who's come up through the ranks.
She's worked with Obama. She has done a lot of charitable things. She's pretty smart and smart enough to surround herself with the most intelligent people to handle specific jobs. So given the option of Donald Trump or Oprah, Oprah would have made a better president. I still don't think she should be president.
If it was only down to those two people as your possibilities for president.
And a rock.
Stop
it.
Right. Then please, yes, give it to Oprah Winfrey. But realistically... that office is too important to make this that sort of a popularity contest, you know?
But we did it already, and wouldn't it look better? The world loves Oprah. She may be, I asked this to Brian Noonan, and I said, don't you think Oprah is the most famous person in all the world? And he said, I don't know, maybe Kardashians, and then I threw up.
Oh, my God.
Because I never thought of it that way. God. When I was watching the Golden Globes, I said to Jimmy Mack, you know, Oprah is the most famous woman in the world. And he goes, you might be right. And then Brian Noonan brought it back to reality and said, I bet Kim Kardashian more people know. And then that made me cry.
But I think that argument says that the presidency shouldn't be turned into that sort of popularity contest, that it's too important.
I don't care who's next. Can I just say that? Is that bad? I don't care.
You do.
Oh, God, you do care. I hope
but
you do.
But I think what you're saying is, Bill, and you're right, that we had the set of standards.
Right.
It's gone now.
It is gone. Yeah.
And you're right, maybe. But now that it is gone, and now that we've gone way the other way,
maybe
it is time. Maybe, like, I was just thinking, who do you want? I mean, you want someone who's intelligent.
Yeah.
Intelligent. Because then you make...
Compassionate.
Next.
Intelligent.
Strong. You know, yes, intelligent and compassion. You have to have intelligence and compassion. You have to. The leader of any country.
And some sort of diplomatic tact, which is as lacking could be right now.
But see,
there are a bunch of qualities, but aside from the quality, it should be somebody sitting in that chair who has a grasp of all things governmental. And as smart as and worldly as Oprah is, she doesn't have that.
But there hasn't always been, that person hasn't always sat in that spot.
No, there have been other
cases. But you know what that person has done, because they've been intelligent, hopefully, is that they've surrounded themselves
with
the smartest
with
people.
Good people.
No, I know.
I fear that's, I mean, in this, the administration we're in, it's, everything's off the door.
Right.
Nothing's like that.
Because
happening.
It's one person, because he is making decisions on his own to do things he wants to do.
Yeah, he might have smart people working for him, but
he's not letting them do anything.
Yeah, exactly.
In the next election, when Taylor Swift and Aaron Rodgers are fighting out for who's going to be the president.
How about Bill and Wendy?
How about it?
How about, first of all, here's why it's not going to happen with Oprah. Who in God's name would want that job?
I don't know.
And to clean up what is happening now, you think Barack Obama left Donald Trump a big thing to clean up? Other way around, honey.
It is the hard. And when people, we're not just saying those on throwaway words. It's hard because you make such unbelievable decisions. You have no, even every day on the smallest thing.
Right.
You know, you have to just weigh so much. It's like
chicken or turkey for lunch.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Nuggets or a patty.
There's a lot.
I mean,
we must break. Judy, thank you for hanging out. Wendy and I will close up shop next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
The Midwestern University Multi-Specialty Clinic in Downers Grove offers a comprehensive patient-centered healthcare experience at their Family Medicine Clinic, Speech-Language Institute, Physical Therapy Institute, Dental Institute, and Eye Institute. At their clinics, you will receive quality care from a team of highly qualified faculty and students. Learn more at mwuclinics.com or call 630-743-4500. The Midwestern University Clinic, your family's home for healthcare.
My name is Bob, and I had a transcatheter aortic valve replacement, or TAVR, from Northwestern Medicine. Yeah, I had no idea what it was either, until it saved my life. When my cardiologist diagnosed me with life-threatening heart valve disease, he suggested I enroll in an innovative TAVR clinical trial. For a man with a new grandbaby on the way, I'm grateful he did.
Northwestern Memorial Hospital has performed more TAVR procedures than any other hospital in Illinois, a less invasive treatment option that avoids open-heart surgery for some patients with aortic valve disease.
Thanks to Northwestern Medicine, I'll get to hold my grandson.
Northwestern Memorial Hospital ranks highest in Illinois and top 10 in the nation for cardiology and heart surgery by U.S. News & World Report. Find out more at heart.nm.org. Northwestern Medicine. Better.
For more than 80 years, the Sianis family has been running some of the greatest, most famous taverns in Chicago. They've done this with class and with a curse here and there, and of course, with beer. Now you can have that liquid refreshment in your home, brewed exclusively by Bader Brau on the south side and distributed by Glenn's. Billy Goat Beer is now available at all Jewel Osco stores and Billy Goat Taverns in the Chicago area. The beer choice is yours, IPA or Pilsner. Just grab a six-pack and enjoy.
Now through January 28th is your last chance to see For the Love of the Game, a rare sports exhibit at South Shore Arts at the Center for Visual and Performing Arts in Munster, Indiana. Jordan, Ali, Mantle, Gretzky, Ruth, Dr. J, and many more are part of the exhibit, featuring items of sports heroes throughout the last century in baseball, basketball, hockey, even horse racing. Original prints by Leroy Neiman, paintings by Mark McMahon of famous ballparks and stadiums fill the 5,000-square-foot gallery. For information, SouthShoreArtsOnline.org.
2 minutes of overtime on your first day back. I am so glad you're back.
What is that in pesos? I'm only using pesos for
$20.
I'm only using pesos. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Hope you enjoyed what you heard. No show tomorrow. It's an off day. It's a travel day.
Oh, yeah.
Sunday, of course, we're all in church.
A bye day.
And then Monday, that's your business, Wendy. No, don't ask, don't tell. And then Monday, things are back to normal again, if
well,
there is
see
such
you
a
then.
Thing. See you then. Bye, everybody. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.